The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Well, Jack, we're back, Real Racing USA live, and after talking to Fritz there, and the time it is, looks like we're going to hit the gray area tonight.
Yeah, we're going to hit the gray area, no doubt.
And with us right now, the 2007 TBRA champion, Troy DeCare. Troy, welcome to Real Racing USA live.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Troy, what a season you had this year, man. 2007 champion. Wins all over the place. It just had to be a dream season for you.
Oh, absolutely. Coming into this series just a couple years ago, I never thought I'd be winning races like we are. Much less sitting here as the champion. It's definitely beside myself.
Now, you started out the season strong. What kept this team going all year long?
It's pretty simple. George Rudolph. He puts together flawless equipment. I mean, anybody who's ever driven his car could tell you. We had one DNF, I believe, this year, and it was because we broke a shock. It wasn't even really a mechanical. We just got in there and bent up a shock, and that was it. We blew a motor one time. Excuse me. I'm sorry. But, you drive his car, and you can get in it, and you can tighten your belts with confidence. You know, it's going to make 35 laps as long as you can hang on to it.
Now, what was it like at DeSoto with that 50-lapper?
Oh, actually, that's where my shock went out.
Yeah.
We had a real strong car. I went to the front fairly early. And, I've been fortunate enough to run some USCS where I got to run, 40, 50-lap races. And I ran the 500 and the 400, the Florida 400, and the little 500 up against Canada. So I got to run quite a few races with some extended laps. So, It wasn't that bad, but you put a wing on it, and it'll definitely wear you out a little bit. But it was pretty exciting. We had a full field of cars, and unfortunately, I had a shock issue. But it was definitely an exciting race, and I'd like to run some more races like that with some extended laps, especially now that we finally got to a point where I'm starting towards the back most of the time. We're having a high point average and whatnot, you know.
Now, Troy, your dad's had extensive racing on the dirt. You ever thought about swapping over to dirt at all?
I've always wanted to run dirt. That's actually where I'd have to say where my heart is. But I grew up racing dirt go-karts, and I've made about four or five dirt starts in a sprint car. And I'm trying to get some things going next year to run some more dirt races. And like I said, being that's where I came from, especially growing up out at East Bay watching my dad, I definitely love to do more dirt. Now pavement's where my primary ride is, and pavement essentially is the place, I've had some people in my career tell me, Daytona's pavement, Indianapolis is pavement, and if you're wanting to further your career, that's what you need to do. But dirt's definitely a lot better racing, and I'd like to, like I said, get some more time on there, but we'll have to see where that goes in the future.
Dirt racing, it's a world of its own out there, slinging that car sideways and stuff. But watching you guys at, like, DeSoto and New Smyrna, the bigger tracks, those cars just unbelievable. It's like the top fuel of stock car racing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my favorite track, when I first got into it, I probably wouldn't have said this, but my favorite track now is definitely New Smyrna. I believe we won two or three times there this year, and tracks like that where you can really just let the car air out because contrary to what most people believe with the pavement car, the more you're on the gas and the more you drive, harder you drive that car, the easier it is to drive. And, from the fan standpoint, we're crazy people that strap into these things. But
yeah, I'll agree with that.
But from a driver's standpoint, your New Smyrnas, your Lake Cities, your Pensacola, tracks like that, I definitely have to say now that I'm in definitely a quality ride that I lean towards those tracks as opposed to, to some of the smaller tracks, which are still fun, but it's still a everybody being so equal in speed in our series that it's tough. You gotta sometimes get in there and mix it up when you don't really want to,
Is the setup a lot different from a track like a smooth new surface of New Smyrna to the abrasive surface of, say, Pensacola?
Not really. Well, what I found out, especially because this is there's different rules, and obviously the USCS says there's the TBRA, and TBRA doesn't go to Pensacola, but USCS does, so there's some different changes you make there as far as your offset rules to your wheels. But, like, I found out with our car, coming from Stan Butler's team and Butler Motorsports and them guys, what we were doing over there, we were trying too hard, it seemed like. And now I'm with George. It's fairly basic. And once you get what the driver likes and what the car likes, from track to track, we really don't change a whole lot as opposed to the other cars. Now, with a non-wing, that's definitely a different story. But I tell you right now, on our car, we didn't change the springs or the shocks maybe once or twice the whole season. We stayed pretty much at our base setup, and we just, made some weight different changes. But like I said, the car stays pretty neutral throughout track to track with our style cars, with a wing anyway.
Even Ocala?
That Ocala is where you're making your spring change. And actually what we do there, all we really do is we cross the front springs and make a few other little stagger adjustments. I mean, like, for the most part, our biggest deal every week is trying to get our stagger right. We get our stagger right, and the car usually does exactly what I want it to. Because, like I said, George, he's very, on top of the car as far as maintenance goes, and that's the biggest thing. And but the car setup is very basic, and everybody out there trying to reinvent the wheel, so to speak, and we like to just keep it basic and hit the tires. I think tires is probably the most important thing in our series.
Go ahead, Rick.
When you hit that plane with a race car, that's got to be the most comfortable moment ever.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we come out the box this year, and we had, I think, four wins or so right off the, in the first half of the season, and like six or seven top three finishes, and we were in the hunt. I think I led a lap in every race there for like the first eight races or something, and or whatever the case was, and I was in very comfortable situation with our race car, and we had a point where George, whatever he was doing, was liking whatever I was doing in the car. And then halfway through the season, George builds a brand new race car and swaps cars on me, and fortunately went right back to winning, because that's just the type of car owner George is. But I was so happy with the other car, and I was so comfortable, and like the new car was far more superior as far as, up-to-date equipment, a better engine and stuff like that. But like you said, when you hit that sweet spot with that car, it was definitely hard to peel me out of that seat and put me in the new car, even though the new car, like I said, was much better.
What was it like? There was a lot of tire issues at first at New Smyrna. What was it like going out on that new pavement?
Well, we got out there, and it was so it felt like it almost felt like a really tacky dirt track. I mean, you could go from the top to the bottom, it was going to wear your tires out. It was like a Pensacola. Pensacola, you can run flat out for probably four or five laps if you really want to, not lift, but you're not going to have a right rear tire left.
Right.
And that was the case with New Smyrna. And, I went out there, and I won the heat race, and we came in and looked at the tire, and I went around looking at everybody else's tires, and our tire stayed pretty good. And that's usually when you can tell when you have a good car, is when your left rear and your right rear, the air pressure comes in, and they're about the same, and they're not, the right rear is usually a lot hotter than the left rear, but if you can keep them pretty neutral, you got a good balance going. And they actually gave us the option for everybody to put a new right rear tire on, and I was fine with that, but I was hoping we'd leave the old tires on, because it appeared that everybody else was burning their tires up, and luckily I got out of there and ended up winning the race anyways. But definitely before that track got seated in, it was definitely eating some tires up on these race cars, especially with the wing like we got. Really, really cranking down on that right rear.
Well, Troy, you by winning this championship, I mean, you entered a pretty good club. Your name's going to be on there with Dave Scarborough, Wayne Rudiman, Taylor Andrews, Sam Rodriguez, Joe Melnick. I mean, Dude T, Dave Steele. What's that like, man?
Well, I mean, I kind of just got goosebumps, believe it or not. And, I grew up stuck to the fence at East Bay catching tear-offs off Roland Johnson's helmet. And, the sprint car guys have always been my heroes. I mean, obviously, I grew up in a late model family, and I loved late models. But I'd say my biggest hero growing up was definitely Sam Rodriguez, and he's kind of been like a, you know, like an uncle to me, and he's definitely taken me under his wing growing up through the go-kart ranks, and him and my dad being really, really close friends. You know, I called him up, and I tried to get him out the last race. Unfortunately, he was busy with Erica and the cup deal, but, you know, to be in a, that was an elite group. I mean, those guys were racing gods to me, to, you know, when they come walking through the pit gate and I saw Sam Rodriguez and guys like that, I was just, you know, I was beside myself. And now to even be considered on the same page as them, I will never myself consider, like, to be half the driver those guys were. But, like, for people to mention me somewhere around them is definitely a big boost for my confidence.
Well, guess what, man? When you go back to the tracks next year, there are going to be all kinds of kids and fans in the stands that look at you that way. Get used to it. You earned it. You deserve it.
Well, I appreciate it, man. It's definitely a huge deal for me and my family. I mean, my mom was just in tears when we finally clinched it, and it was just, like I said, it's just a dream come true, and it's a big deal for this whole area. And like, I'd like to, you know, I'd like to come back next year and hopefully I can repeat the deal. But if I never do it again, I definitely am glad I got this opportunity to fill what I call a dream season.
I got a question for you. Wing or non-wing?
I'm a non-wing guy. I have most of my success with a wing. I got three or four wins without a wing. And, you know, coming from the low budget ranks like I have myself, I prefer the non-wing because you can definitely get away with a lot, you know, lesser equipment. It puts it more in the driver. Because I've been in the wing car, and I get out there and my car will be just a little bit off, and I'm watching Dave Steele and them guys disappear down the straightaway, and I'm going, there's nothing you can do about it. And not that there's really anything you can turn into Superman in a non-wing car, but, like, there's a point in a non-wing car where setup only gets you so far. And it's up to the driver to really carry it the rest of the way. And that's where Dave Steele definitely, I feel, excels over the rest of the field when it comes to non-wing racing. And I'd hope to think, like, one day I could get to that point. But I think the non-wing, if you get out there and your car's a little bit off, you can hustle up a little bit, maybe elbows up, and get yourself a top five when maybe you had an eighth place car.
All about getting up on that wheel, huh?
Absolutely.
So let me ask you: you ran the little 500, you run the 400, you got the 400 coming up. What are the preparations? How do the preparations differ from, say, a 35 lap TBRA race to one of these 400 or 500 lap races?
I'd like to say that you know, I get in the gym and I eat right and all that, but I don't really do none of those things. I think it's more of a mental deal because I got all in the gym and worked out and drank water for 2 months straight before the 500, and I crashed on lap 9, and I was like, man, that's horrible. So this year I went there with this, hey man, I'm just here, happy to be here, and then we ended up 7th. So I was like, you know. And we finished 3rd in the 400 last year. It's really maintenance on the car. A to Z, the car, bumper to bumper, check it out. Like, make sure, you know, you got a fresh set of brakes on there. Everything is right. And, you know, like, being associated with George Rudolph, this really, really helped me as far as, like, when we went to the 400. Our car, I can say that I got in there, and I wasn't worried, like, oh, man, is this going to fail? Is this going to fail? I was able to go there with, hey, drive the car, and with confidence that, you know, when the checkered falls, this thing will still be running, and like it was with the 400, and like it was with the 500 this year. And I'd say preparation is all 100% in the shop and mental, you know, as far as the driver standpoint goes, but you got to be on top of your equipment. That's definitely the name of this game.
No doubt about it, and it looks like they're expecting a huge field for that 400 race.
Yeah, that's what I heard. At first, it was looking a little bleak, and then here as of late, I found out that maybe some more cars have entered, which is good news. And I hope that race really takes off because it's nice for sprint car racing to have a you know, profound race here in Florida, like the PRI show, and hopefully the 400. And that'd be two nice races for local guys like myself to race against, like, the national type competition.
Talk about a little bit about that PRI race coming up.
That's a huge deal, especially for guys like myself or in the TBRA who are looking to, you know, maybe show those USAC guys that, hey, you know, we can race down here in Florida too. because I feel there's a lot of big sprint car talent in Florida that maybe doesn't really get a look. And with the trade show coming down and everybody who's anybody in sprint car racing being at Orlando for one night or two nights or whatever it is, you know, if you can make the race and run with those guys, that very well could be one of two things for like a local boy like myself. That could be, you know, that could be your shot to be seen, or, you know, that could be a chance for, you know, you take your car up to Indiana to Anderson, those guys get to race on that track 3, 4, 5 times a year. Where they come to Orlando, that's what we get to race 3, 4, 5 times a year. And it's our chance for, you know, for them to invade our home turf and us to really, you know, get a fair shake at maybe running with the higher dollar teams just by having pure local knowledge, you know what I'm saying?
Equals that playing field a little bit.
Absolutely.
Well, Troy, fantastic visiting with you tonight. We'll be up there to see you at the PRI show and at the race. And enjoy that championship, brother, because you're in everybody's scope.
Oh, absolutely, man. I really appreciate it. And real quick, I'd just like to make sure I could thank everyone. I'd like to thank you guys for having me on here. And the PBRA is a fantastic series. And I hope Lenny Puglio and my dad and Robert Stevenson and Bo Hotley can really take that club to the next level and you know, make it the pronounced club that I know it is. And George and Martha Rudolph, mainly, for just letting me drive their race car, and my mom and dad for always supporting me throughout this. It's really meant a lot. And, you know, radio shows like yourself for helping us people down here in Florida really get our, you know, get our voice out.
Well, Troy, again, congratulations, man, and we'll see you at Orlando.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
Troy DeCare, man.
Yeah, oh boy.
Yeah.
That's quite an exclusive list there, and there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.